come and they are coming on the platform now. And the welcoming address will be made by Mr. Nelson C. Duran, the Vice President of Thomas A. Edison, Incorporated. On the left of the governor is one of the latest models of the Edison phonograph. And on the right of Mr. Edison is a very beautiful machine, the Ediphone, which is so important in the world of industry and commerce today. We hope that you hear the cameras clicking. Mr. Reed, we missed that bit of humor that seems to have struck everyone.
How about that drink, Mother?
We're sure that every motion picture camera and every still view camera in the United States is immediately in front of us now, taking the photograph of Mary Harry Moore of the state of New Jersey and Thomas A. Edison. We could extemporize by the hour eulogizing Mr. Edison, but his deeds, which have been so tremendously influential in the progress of science and modern civilization, are so well known that we feel it's not only unnecessary, but quite out of place. We're quite missing the humor, worrying about what we're thinking of. That sound as of machine guns is the clicking of cameras, we assure you. Nelson C. Duran, the Vice President of the Edison Company, has just told the cameras that's all there is. There isn't any more. So we're sorry that you can't all be here to enjoy the humor of the situation, the informality that exists on the lawn here in front of the Thomas A. Edison home in Llewellyn Park, West Orange, New Jersey. One man is bent on continuing, and he's shooting the governor and Mr. Edison, even as they're moving away from their appointed position. Our guests of honor take their seats again. The basket of 50 tea roses have been placed on the stand. It's quite evident that some photographers are even now taking your announcer's picture, and we hope that in just a moment, Mr. Nelson C. Duran, the Vice President of Thomas A. Edison Company, Incorporated, will make the welcoming address.
Mr. Edison, Your Excellency Governor Moore, ladies and gentlemen, 50 years ago today, the principle of recording and reproducing human voice and other sounds was discussed. We are gathered here to celebrate this historic event and to honor the man whose genius not only created the phonograph, but perfected and applied it to the service and entertainment of the world. Mr. Edison was a young man when he startled the world with his new principle. He did not rest with a scientific announcement 50 years ago. He has toiled in his laboratories with all the enthusiasm of youth to give us the perfected instruments we enjoy in our homes and business offices today. And 50 years of this devotion seems only to reflect his ambition for this child of his brain and to have made him happy because his inventions have made the world a better place to live in. It is a pleasure to Mr. Edison, I feel sure, to see about him so many of his friends, including the pioneers who have so faithfully assisted him for these past 50 years. For Mr. Edison and the industries which bear his name, it is a pleasure to welcome you to this Jubilee celebration. Foil model repeated Mr. Edison's words 50 years ago, then was formed the fundamental of a business assistant found in many thousands of offices today of executives on the instrument, which Mr. Edison has called the Edifall. It is not generally appreciated that these instruments are not merchandised as ordinary goods, but they are introduced by men who are especially fit to assist business managers in the organization of their offices and to afterwards maintain the local service which extends through the civilized world. This worldwide Edifone organization is represented here today by Mr. O'Kane and Osborne of Indianapolis, who has a message for Mr. Edison. I have the pleasure of introducing Mr. Bernardville, accompanied by Miss Betty Hackman of Boston as flower girl. Mr. Edison, from every part of the United States and Canada, we come together to this shrine to pay our respects and express our deep esteem to you on this golden anniversary of the invention of the edifone. 50 years of continual research and development has turned the tinfoil into gold. Mr. Edison, there is not a single person who has journeyed to be here on this occasion of the half-century anniversary of this discovery by you of the practical ways of voice reproduction who does not feel a distinction to be present at this time. With a sincerity that comes from the bottom of our hearts, we wish you many more years of happy usefulness. We take from here a lesson of service to mankind. Your life and your achievements have instilled in the minds of all men the name of Thomas A. Edison as a monument to service. Mr. Edison, it is a great pleasure to each one of us to be here, and we hope that each of these 50 golden roses will reflect to you in some small measure the tribute that we feel in our hearts toward you. Really, on an occasion such as this, when words fail, we can only say it with flowers.
As it does the 50th anniversary of the discovery of the principle of recording and reproducing human voice and other sounds, very delightful, I assure you. Speaking for myself, Mr. Edison, and the others of us here in Orange, who depend so much on the loyal efforts of the Edifone organization in the field, I want to thank you. Anniversaries, as a rule, are not very pleasurable affairs because what we know about the reason for the anniversary is usually brought to us in histories and books. And very few of the people that had the actual part in the making of the history are there to attend the celebration of the anniversary itself. But as we look around today and see the happy families that account for the birth and the development of the Edifone over two generations, we can say that this is indeed a jubilee celebration. I might say a great deal more on this occasion, expressing the happiness that I know that this expression of loyalty and brought to Mr. Edison today. But as friends in the Edison organization, it is sufficient for me to say that Mr. Edison deeply appreciates this expression of loyalty. May this celebration serve to hold us closer in our ideals and ambitions for the honor of the founder of our industry as we begin another 50 years of progress.
And introduces excellently the Governor Harry Moore.
New Jersey. It's the man who sits today in the governor's chair at Trenton. When this celebration was discussed several months ago, we naturally thought of him to assist us, and in a broader way to represent the citizens of New Jersey who would be interested in this Jubilee anniversary. He has given us freely of his time and counsel to make this occasion one long to be remembered. And we wish to have him know how thoroughly we appreciate the many courtesies he has extended. I have the honor to introduce His Excellency J. Harry Moore, Governor of the State of New Jersey.
Honored guests, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate the honor of being here. I also appreciate greatly the very kind and courteous introduction of Dr. Durant. Sometimes the governor is not so graciously presented. I recall speaking in the cemetery upon Memorial Day occasion. It's been my custom for the past 15 years to go to the local cemetery and speak for the remaining members of the Grand Army on Memorial Day. Last Memorial Day, when I went to the cemetery to speak to them, the old commander rose to present me, and he said, "Comrade, the speaker of the day will be Governor Moore. When he gets through speaking, the squad will fire a volley over the deck." Now, I'm very sure that I'm here, and that such work will not be necessary. So I think of the photograph, I'm reminded, and this is a joyous occasion. This is a funereal affair. It's a joyous occasion. And as I think of that, I think of that story. The little boy came to his father one day, and he said, "Pop," he said, "Mr. Edison make the first coffee machine?" Father said, "No, my son. God made the first coffee machine." But he said, "Mr. Edison made the first one you could shut up." Now, isn't it unusual for the governor of a state to be called upon to pay tribute to someone of his state who has accomplished an outstanding task, or perform some signal service in the cause of science or patriotism or humanity? Seldom, however, is there an opportunity to mark an achievement to whose beneficent effect is continuous and increasingly more valuable as the years go by. To celebrate an accomplishment of this latter type and to felicitate the man who accomplished it is the purpose of this gathering here today. 3 days ago, I had the honor of commending a citizen of our state who had successfully piloted an aeroplane across the Atlantic Ocean, an admirable achievement requiring great skill and splendid courage. He was a pioneer, blazing the trail, a forerunner of the great cavalcade which will follow. In the progress of civilization, experience indicates that oftentimes one source, another water, and still another taketh the increase. But in the discovery of this principle of recording and reproducing the human voice and other sounds, Thomas A. Edison 50 years ago not only planted, but he nurtured and brought it to a wonderful fruition. It was a concept of his own brain and skill, a basic invention. Nothing like it ever before had stirred the imagination of mankind. We have all felt the thrill of the poet who longed for the touch of a vanishing hand and the sound of a voice that was still. The marvelous brain of Thomas A. Edison have in some measure satisfied that voice, for he has perpetuated the sweetest notes of the singer, immortalized the human voice, and preserved it for the generations yet on board. who can measure the inestimable value of this invention to the study, the pleasure it has brought to the millions, and the incalculable value of its efficiency to the business world. It has been said that the world is not served by events, but by men. And if this be so, then indeed the world owes a great debt of gratitude to Thomas A. Edison. Business is business. Yes, but we must remember that the business of humanity is life. Life. He who makes life more abundant, he who can take a sunbeam from the sun to play it into dark in the spirit power of another night, he is the real benefactor of mankind. And such is the gentleman whom we honor today. But the sentiments which I have expressed are not merely confined to the friends and employees of Mr. Edison, or indeed to the people of our state. It's evidenced by the fact that I have here a book containing letters of felicitation from His Excellency the President of the United States, the Secretary of Commerce, the governors of the 48 states, and the rulers of empire, all of whom, with one accord, delight to pay tribute to the man and inventor upon this, the 50th anniversary of the principle of recording and reproducing the human voice and other sounds. So, sir, I have the very great honor to present to you, on behalf of your friends and employees, these tributes from far and near, deeply bound together in one volume, as they are one in their praise, and feel sure that they will mean more to you than the finest gifts that money can buy. May they inspire you to even greater service in the field which your genius has so wonderfully enriched.
And a pleasure to accept from Mr. Edison this splendid gift. As his friend, you are aware of his well-known reluctance to speak before an audience, which accounts for the fact that this honor has fallen to me. You spoke truly when you said that this extraordinary collection of letters will mean more to Mr. Edison than the finest gift that money could buy. Not only does he deeply appreciate the gift itself, but also the fact that you, Mr. Governor, have spent so much of your time in its preparation. You may be able to picture the train of events which this anniversary brings back to Mr. Edison's memory. In 1877, he was a young man of 30. On a tinfoil model like this, human speech first echoed in his laboratory. We all know his surprise at the result, although the conception of the experiment was based on scientific reasons. He might tell us of the daily grind in laboratory development to perfect the humanizing process of recreating the human voice for entertainment and for the business world. But if he were speaking, he would also add words of appreciation for those that have worked unremittingly with him in his laboratory and in the field, and for the many who have toiled just as diligently in other laboratories and other business organizations. Without these men to help carry out his ideals, his dreams could never have come true. So he wishes me to say that he feels that he should share the honor that has been accorded to him today with these others. Mr. Governor, in the name of Mr. Edison and those who have aided in the development of this great industry, I thank you.
by the Federal State Governor, A. Harry Moore, and we also hear remarks made by the Edison.
And now there's one thing more. We're assembled here today not only to do honor to the inventor of the phonograph, but also to celebrate the birthday of the phonograph itself. In 1877, Mr. Edison handed John Cruzy, one of his assistants in the laboratory at Menlo Park, a pencil sketch, with the result that Cruzy made a crude mechanism, the exact duplicate of which is on the table before me. This, then, is an exact duplicate of a device which took part in a memorable scene. A scene where, for the first time in history, a man spoke to a machine, and the machine spoke back to the man. In the years of the past, since Cruzy first made this model for Mr. Edison, there have been many changes in phonograph form, but the principle has remained the same. And as we are celebrating the birthday of the phonograph, it seems fitting that the phonograph itself, in its latest and newest form, the Edisonic, should now be permitted to speak a few intimate words to the man whose genius created it.
We have been together 50 years, Chief. 50 years of adventure and achievement. We have shared disappointments and successes, discouragement and triumph. For 50 years, you have feuded and watched over me with untiring patience. I have traveled to the loneliest outposts of civilization. I have loved elbows with Mars, and I have become the indispensable servant of captains of business. You have made me a universal messenger of happiness and satisfaction, rich and poor alike. But today, as I stand on the threshold of the next 50 years, I feel as a college boy must feel at graduation. He looks down over the years of accomplishment and all for me. You have made me mature in wisdom, a power for good. And because I am what I am, I have undying wisdom. Do you remember, Chief, that first day 50 years ago at Menlo Park? Do you remember how you wouldn't tell John Cruzy what I was when you handed him the sketch that Cruzy makes it? You wouldn't tell him because you were afraid he'd think you had gone crazy. I remember because I was a living thing in your brain long before I was given a physical body. Do you remember the way the laboratory looked that day with its jumble of apparatus and the hum of the machine? Coming in through the door. Cruzy did. You and he were alone. He took out the awkward body of brass and tin foil down on the table and looked at you. You hadn't told him what you expect. You didn't even dare to expect much of it yourself. So what did you expect? And then you put the people and spoke those never to be forgotten first word. Do you remember how your hand trembled just a little when you reset my mechanism? What a tense moment that was. And then I spoke. I repeated your words. I even remembered your inflection and the intonation of your voice. And the little cough you made. Because for the first time since the dawn of creation, you had endowed inanimate matter with the power to remember such things. In his amazement, all he could say was, "My gump in Timulus Pass!" I would like to reminisce with you, Chief, for hours. We would have plenty to talk about. The 50 years we have worked together have been full of wonderful moments. But to me, In connection with the thrill of that first day in 1877, at the little laboratory in London. Today is my 60th birthday. I'm entitled to ask a favor. I want to hear again from your own lips those immortal first words you spoke to me 50 years ago.
I spoke in the original phonograph. A little piece of practical poetry. Mary had a little lamb, its feet were quite a flow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
We have had the extreme pleasure of being able to bring to our radio fans the voice of commentary.
Friends, we wish to thank you for this celebration, and we are now on our way to another 50 years, which I hope will all remain not Edison's friend. I thank you.
Let us go back for now. We heard Thomas A. Edison repeat the simple, familiar lines of poetry, Mary Had a Little Lamb, the first words he spoke into his Edison phonograph. As it was an instrument of glass and tin foil. We are on the lawn of Glen Mount, the home of Thomas A. Edison at Llewellyn Park in West Orange, New Jersey. I've had the pleasure of hearing Nelson C. Duran, the Vice President of Thomas A. Edison Incorporated. Presentation speech by Mr. O.K. and Van Orndorff, presenting 50 yellow Pernod roses to Mr. Edison on the 50th anniversary of the phonograph, and also with the thought of his younger brother, the Ediphone. The flowers were presented by Miss Betty Atwell of Boston, acting as the flower girl throughout the ceremonies. Speeches were made by Charles Edison, son of Thomas A., for his father. And we had the pleasure of bringing to our audience the well-known voice of the man who enjoyed high position, exalted position as governor of the state of New Jersey by your wish, Governor A. Harry Moore. And finally, we heard the Edisonic, the latest Edison phonograph, speak to its chief, Thomas A. Edison, and we heard the answer. This is Louis A. Witten announcing for station WOR of L. Bamberger and Company at Newark, New Jersey. The ceremonies continue, and we find ourselves next in the Essex County Country Club, where John B. Gambling introduces the proceedings there.